a special treat it is. I almost dragged her up with me onto the stage. Amen. Since she said I was trying to steal her. So I figured, if I'm doing that, let's just get her up here real quick. Maybe a little later, maybe. But also, it's good to want to say welcome home to Derwin and Lisa. They're here back in Albuquerque. And it's good to have you back at VOABQ. Amen. You said you were coming, but everybody was saying, what happened? I said, you know what? They got out just before that 120 degrees came out in Phoenix. They slipped out of that Phoenix. Amen. And for the very first time, and we may have missed some people, but for the very first time, we want to welcome Nick, Kathy, and Terry here for the very first time. It is good to have you with us at Victory Outreach. I hope that we'll get a chance to meet you after service. Right after, I'll be in the foyer, so if you can stick around. And it's also good to see my oldest daughter here this morning, Felicia. What a woman she is. What a mama she is. I can't even say enough about how she's grown, the woman she's grown into. She's such a classy. When I think of my daughter, I think of class. She's such a classy girl, classy woman, and she is a strong mama too, man. Amen. Her sons are amazing because she is raising them. Amen. I want you to open your Bibles with me to Proverbs chapter 20 real quick. Proverbs 20. And we're just going to read one verse, then I'll let you be seated. Thank you so much for the card, all of you that signed it and gave and all that stuff. I'm so humbled by your love and by the way you honor me. I'm so grateful. My father went home to be with the Lord. Now we're 2018, and he went in 2002, so 16 years already. It's been 16 years. And I didn't have a good relationship with him growing up because it was the tough, the life. But, oh, boy, the last years of our lives, I had a daddy, amen, and that's why it hurts so bad, amen. People always ask me, does it hurt? Does it hurt? Does it still? Of course it does. It'll never not hurt until I see him in heaven, until I walk into the pearly gates, and this is what he's going to do. Now, just catch me. Don't judge me, but catch me. Some of you that have known my dad for a long time, you know he's going to do this. He's going to look at me, what'd you think? And then he's going to say, how about this? Come on in, son. That's my dad. He's just a crazy old gangster, Jesus freak. And he's going to be there waiting at the pearly gates. Amen. Waiting for us. Amen. And that's when I'll see him. I'll see him like that next time I see him. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7. I'm going to read out of the New King James. It says like this: the righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Father, we thank you today, God, on this beautiful Father's Day service. I pray that you would anoint me. Lord, your word says the anointing breaks the yoke. So I pray you help me in the anointing, God, to help take some yokes off this morning, off of people's necks, off their minds, off their hearts. And then, Lord, you, as you break the yoke, you would just place that sweet anointing, that love, that power. And as you turn things around already for many, begin to turn things around for those that have not yet gotten turned around. We love you. We thank you for your word. I pray you use your servant this morning to preach, my God, not just to transmit knowledge, but to transmit your fire and your love. We love you and give you praise. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Turn to somebody and say, built to last. And you can be seated. When I think of integrity, when I think about this scripture, this text, I chose this text to begin my message this morning because I really believe that God is looking for righteous men. He's looking for righteous fathers. Fathers who will be men not just of integrity, but men who love their God. You see, there's a lot of people out there that have integrity and they work every day and they're good men. But what God's looking for is godly men. And so I want to talk to you this morning about the man who builds to last. The man of integrity. The man who his children can call him blessed. And I think about integrity. Everything God makes has integrity. Everything. If you peel an orange, what do you get inside? Every time, right? Every single time you peel an orange, you're going to get orange inside. It may be different kinds of oranges, but there's an orange inside there. Usually they name those oranges. Like, I don't know, I've been into these Caracara oranges. They're phenomenal. But I know every time I buy one and I peel it, I know exactly what's going to be inside of that orange because God has integrity. What He makes has integrity. Everything. See? Being a father is a heavy responsibility, man. I'm telling you right now, I look back. During these times, I get a little emotional. I look back, way, way back, and I think of, you know, I think of the regrets, and I also think of the opportunities. And to have the responsibility to father when you haven't had a good example, or maybe you haven't had a father, maybe your father was MIA, missing in action, or maybe you lost your father. Like this precious little child, I couldn't contain myself. Amen. I couldn't contain myself, man. We lost our daddy, and I thought to myself, man, what an ache that is. And then even Shell, at 15 years old, what an ache that is, you know. And I know what it feels like to lose my father. Amen. And I just want to say congratulations to the newlyweds. They just walked in. I guess the honeymoon's over, and so they walked in. I said, Fritos and Natalie, hello. I'm sorry to put you on blast, but we got to celebrate you. Amen. Amen. So happy for you guys. You guys are smiling. You guys look happy. That's good. Amen. And I think a good father, there's a good father right there. Amen. And if you haven't had a teacher or a mentor, man, it makes it all the more difficult. It makes it difficult because you have nothing to gauge what you're supposed to be by. As I was praying and preparing for this message the last week and a half, 2 weeks, I've been really praying and saying, God, what do you want me to speak? I have so many Father's Day messages in the holster that I could pull out from years. I have so much experience pastoring and so many messages that I could relate different things. But the Lord really spoke to me this whole past week. I've been speaking about, and I've had the opportunity to speak to all the vet the instructors and all of the coordinators and all those from all over the world. There was people from India and Africa and all over Mexico and in the United States. And I told them, you're the shapers of the future. Make sure that you give the fire of the gospel to the coming generations, because 100 years from now, if the Lord tarries, what are they going to say about us? I said, are they going to blame us? Or are they going to commend us by the teaching of the... See, Bible school and education is so vital and so crucial, but it's got to be transmitted properly with fire. So I shared that message, and I thought to myself, what a great title. Although I already have a title for a message, is Built to Last, but what a great title. You know, fathers, we're shapers of the future. We shape our children on what they're going to be. Now, we can't shape their personalities. We can't even shape their dreams. We can't shape their desires because everyone has desires of their own. Everyone has their own dreams and their own callings. And so we can't shape that part of their lives, but we can shape their character. Amen. We can shape their love and how they love. And so as I was praying for this, I couldn't shake the thought, before I get into the message, I couldn't shake the thought of, like, what would I do if I could do things different? What would I do if I could go back and do a do-over? What if you could go back, like, you know, like A Wonderful Life or one of those movies where you go back in time and you can go right back and start over again? And I wrote a few things down before. I wanted to use it as a springboard before I get in the message. But what would I do? I think the first thing that came to my mind and my heart is I would make it my business to understand each one of my children's personalities and not just treat them the same. You know, everybody's in line. This is the army. You're in the army now. March, tune to the tune. This is the same rules. Everybody's same. Everything's the same in the house. Like a boot camp. A little bunch of Navy SEALs. Amen. And think about that. I want you to think about, because some of you are really young still. You have a chance to not have to do the do-over, to start the do. And you know. Instead of staying stuck in all you know, that's where my dad was. I didn't have a dad, so you're going to have to just eat it. That's the way it is. Instead of being that prideful, machismo man, being able to just take your time and say, wait a minute, I need to understand her, him. Who are they? Because, you know, now that we're older, and I see my grandsons, since they've been young, my granddaughters, I can peg their personalities right away now. It's so different, and I treat each one of them different. But I didn't do that with my kids because I didn't know how. So if I could go back, that's one of the things I do. And don't get me wrong now. I'm not saying that, you know, just understand them and let them do whatever they want. There's still going to be some rules. I'm not just saying, you know, there's rules. Amen? And you can't let your kids call the shots. I see this generation. It seems like this generation, like mom and dad, let their kids call the shots. Give me the phone. I don't know if it's a convenience, so they can quit bugging you, or if it's like just okay. I'm still strong dad. I think kids need a strong dad, not an abusive dad. Don't get me started on that, because I'll take y'all back. I'm sorry. I just not abusive. I'm talking about a strong dad, a father that says this is the way it goes. This is the way things happen in the house. But one with understanding, with love, and not like a militant, you know, drill instructor, which I could say I was guilty of. But there's a balance. And then second thing I think I'd do, not just understand their personalities, but the second thing I think I would do is I would not just learn how to understand their personalities, but I would learn how to understand the generation they live in. And not succumb to it. Not say, well, that's their generation, so we have to let them. No. I would just want to understand the generation so I could explain to them how this generation could very well shape you in a way that you shouldn't go. Be careful not to follow just because that's what's going on. And I would make it my business to understand their generation. Something I didn't do. I mean, I knew the hairstyles. I knew the music. I knew that there was New Kids on the Block. Chaka Khan. You know, I knew about that stuff. I knew, you know, I knew all about it. But I didn't know what the generation, I didn't know the makeup of the generation. I didn't make it my business. I was too busy in my own generation, stuck. I was still stuck in Tower of Power when they were stuck in New Kids on the Block. And I don't know what happened to them because they got stuck there too. The third thing I would do is I would spend more quality time with them. You still got time, some of you. When I say quality time, I don't mean the kind of time that is like we're always together and it's not that good. It's just, but it's all. I'm not talking about quantity of time. I'm talking about quality of time. The quality time. You know, I was a tough dad. I'm still a tough spiritual dad. Some of you know, some of you work close to me, they're like, yikes, pastor's calling me. What's up? If I call you two or three times, it's like, what's going on? Did you get that done? No. Why not? Get it done. I'm like, we gotta move. I'm just a mover. My dad taught me to move. Like, don't sit around and don't sit on your hands and don't procrastinate and just get moving, man. And let's move. I just learned that way. And so my personality is a lot like that. And I know that sometimes in that doesn't become quality time. That's more quantity of time. And so I would, if I could, go back, even in my spiritual fatherhood, I would go back and I would spend more quality time. And I think it's important, dads, that don't waste the rest of your life with just quantity of time. But make sure it's quality. See, this is one of my biggest regrets, is not spending more time. We spend a lot of time together all the time. We live together. But I look back and I say we could have had more quality time. Most don't even realize this until it's too late in the game, until you're older. See, your kids grow up really fast, and then all of a sudden they have kids. And then all of a sudden their kids have kids. And it just keeps on moving like that, and life just moves past you. I think of those that have went home to be with the Lord, my grandparents, father. I think to myself, how it was just like a blink of the eye that we're all together, and then they move on into heaven, and then it just keeps on going and going and going. And we have to make sure that we don't have no regrets. And so you could stop right now and think of it, and take an evaluation right away and say, I'm not going to wait till I'm older. I'm going to do it now. And I'm going to take my time, and I'm going to understand this generation so I can understand my children, and I'm going to understand their personalities. I'm not going to treat them all the same like they're all just a bunch of soldiers. But they're each one individually special. Each one individually, they each one have their own qualities, their own personalities. And if I could, I wish I could go back and learn that. I'm trying to learn that now as I got older. But if I could do it over, that's what I would do. So I wanted to share that before I got into my text. I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. We're going to talk about building something that lasts. Can we do that? Let me see how much time we got left here. I ain't got much time left because one of my other daughters, she says, I'm not going to church. She goes, because I'm cooking for the big shindig today. And I go, okay, no problem. Just have that food ready, girl, when I get there. I got a T-shirt put on, take this off. I'm ready to go eat after this. You know what I mean? But if you'll give me 15 minutes, can I get 15 minutes from you? Who will give me 5 minutes? 5, 10, 15, 20, 30. We're going to have to church this morning. Amen. Remember, all day Sunday. Amen. Matthew 7, let's jump in real quick. Verse 24 through 27 says, in verse 24, the Bible reads, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds his house on a solid rock. Though the rain comes and torrents and floodwaters rise, the winds beat against that house. It won't collapse because it is built on the rock or on the bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. And when the rains and the floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. You see, the message in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27 is probably one of the greatest sermons ever preached. In fact, it was the culmination. It was the very last part of the Sermon on the Mount. I tell you right now that the devil can't stand anything more than a father who gets things right with God. The devil will fight you, and he'll try to use indifference and pain in your past and everything to stop you from being the father that God wants you to be. The one who builds to last. See, Jesus brings out the brutal truth in these two men's lives. There's two men. We're going to liken them to fathers here this morning. These two men raise the question, as fathers, what kind of foundation are we building on? You see, he compares them, and he leads them to this conclusion that one was wise and one was foolish. That word foolish is where we get the Greek word that comes from the word moron. In other words, hard-headed, man. This is all I know, and si no le gustan que se vayan, and I don't care, and if they don't like it, they can go. No. We're called to be fathers that will love our children, that will have some kind of understanding, and man, we grow up with such mindsets. See, these two men, the first thing we see about these two men is they had the same vision. They both had the same vision. They both had the same desires. They had the dreams. They wanted to build something. Their vision is exactly the same. What makes them alike is their future, the view of what they wanted to build was exactly the same. They both wanted to build a house. Obviously by the beach, a beach house. Right on the shore. So the water, I mean, as we see the story, we can see that the water has to beat against it, right? And what makes them both alike is that they both want to build a house. They both want to build a family. They both want to build a life for themselves. Just like all of us. It relates to everybody. Both of them wanted to build a family. And the concept of building a house is like, if you think about it, when you build a house, why do you build a house? You build a house so you can build a life, so you can live there. It's not a a museum. It's a place to be lived in, right? And you build a house to build a family and to build family and you keep, and it keeps on growing and growing and growing. You build a life that's worth living, one that is worth looking back and saying, yes, it's been something that's been significant in my life. I think sometimes I go back and I pass by my grandparents' house. You know, they're long gone to in heaven, but I pass by there to remember, just for memory sometimes. My mom and we were little kids, and my dad and my uncles and my aunts, and I just pass by there every once in a while and think about the upbringing. See, you could relate it to building a family, but nonetheless, you still got to build something to get that family. See, the Lord Jesus Christ, He calls this the house of God. It's His house He's building. He's building it strong. He's been building it strong for many years. And a lot of you are building your lives. Newlyweds are building their lives right now. Their family, they're blended together. They're building something. We're all building something. And we want to build something that we can be proud of. Something that we can say, you know what? We're blessed. And we want to look back on it in our older days and say, you know what? It was all worth the hard work. Because building takes a lot. Amen? And we all, in one way or another, we all fit into Matthew chapter 7. Whether it's individually, whether it's a couple, whether it's a family, or whether it's, it doesn't matter what age group you're in, we all fit into this portion of Scripture. And God has called us to be people that will last, that will build a legacy, that will build something that will be so strong that it'll last into the generations that come after us and the next generations, and will be spoken about. And instead of being blamed, we'll be able to say, my great, great, great grandfather was a powerful Holy Ghost man of God who raised his family with conviction, who raised his family with so much love that it still permeates in us today, three or four generations later. The second thing we see in comparison of these two men is both of these men heard the same message. They were both exposed to the divine truth of this teacher. And who is that teacher? Jesus. He says, when you listen to my teachings, in other words, they went to the same seminary, the same school of the Holy Ghost. They went to the same teaching. Jesus was the professor. Huh? Both men were in the same classroom, and you don't get any better teacher than Jesus. Come on, somebody. I was sharing with the VETI coordinators and all them the other night that whatever, you know, you think about institutions like the Ivy League schools like Harvard and Princeton and Yale and all those places. They used to at one time where they were the premier Holy Ghost and biblical driven institutions of America. But what happened to them is they got away from that and they began to live in half truth and philosophy, and that was the very first my truth. That may be God's truth and your truth, but this is my truth. That was the first my truth movement that actually watered down our society. Because all of the geniuses and smartest people in America, they go to those classes, they go to those schools, and they become somebody, and then they come and say, you know what, I don't think Jesus ever said that. They begin to write other Bibles. There's no God. That couldn't be. That could not be. And before you know it, begin to shape our society into what it is. But at one time, those schools were the Holy Ghost-driven, biblical-driven institution, along with the education of being an attorney or a doctor or whatever they studied there and majored in. They got the powerful teachings of Christ in their lives, and they had both values. They had the value of education and the values that were spiritual. What happened to them? Let me tell you what happened to them. They began to live in half-truth. Begin to compromise. Fathers, we can't compromise our faith. Understand the generation. But just because the generation says they don't believe in God doesn't mean you say, okay, I don't want to be that dad. It's not cool. See, both men were committed to making themselves available to Christ's teaching. We're not talking about one man having a love for hearing the truth and the other one being rebellious. The Bible says they both heard the teachings. They both were sitting under the same divine truth. We're talking about these men who received the scriptures And so the comparison between these two men is they have the same vision, they have the same teaching, they both want a life, they both want to build a family, they both want to build a ministry, or all three, and they have the same instruction from the same instructor, and the both of them have the knowledge. And then the third comparison really, really, really breaks it down, because both of them face the same kind of storms. If they face the identical storm, that tells you that they built their houses next to each other, or down the block of the, right down the block on the beach. But they were close by, because there's no way they could have experienced the same identical storm had they not lived in the same neighborhood or down the street from each other or right next to each other. So they both knew exactly the same. Huh? The description of the storm is so precise that it shows that these guys both lived close to each other. So they had the same teacher, the same vision, they built the same kind of house or looking like a house. Everything. Only one of them built it on the rock and one of them built it on the sand. See, everybody is affected by the storms of life. Everybody here is affected by the negative realities of life. Sometimes ministry, at your job, with coworkers, with your boss, or with your employees, or whatever area it is, life, it can bring storms to your life. It may not be the same exactly, but we all can relate to the storms. Life's not always going to be sunshine and always going to be nice. Life's not always going to be exciting. There's going to be boring times where you feel like giving up. Life's not always going to have moments of just excitement and euphoria all the time. There's going to be times of brokenness and loss and tears and death and pain and sickness. And those times is when the storm hits, is who we are, is what we built on. If we build something strong when the enemy hits or when the storm comes or when the enemy comes in like a flood, God raises up a standard against that enemy. So we know we share all the same vision, the same. We all want to build a good life. But we all face storms also. We don't want to be that dad, Dad, that falls apart every time there's a storm. We want to be that dad that stands up in the middle of the room and says, okay, this is what we're going to do. Everybody hold hands. We're going to pray first. We're going to pray God give us a direction. We're going to pray what God would protect us. We're going to pray God would provide for this. We're going to pray for healing. We're going to pray for... But Dad, if you buckle when the storms happen because you didn't take the time to build something strong, then what legacy will you leave? So that leads me to the next one is both of these men have the same... They had the same lives, same dreams, but they had different types of character. Jesus calls the first one a wise man, the second one a fool. He says, man, this one built on the rock. He was wise. This one was foolish. He built on the sand. Huh? Wisdom in Scripture is the ability to take the divine truth and apply it to your life. One of them applied it and says, okay, this is what I'll do then. The other one said, I don't got to do all that. I already know all that. See, the fool in Scripture is not necessarily the person who lacks information. It is the person who does little or nothing with the information they receive. Think about that. All of you here, you know the Word, most of you. You hear the Word of God preached. You read the Word of God preached. But do you apply it to your life, Daddy? Come on, dads. Come on. Come on, fathers. See, God is looking for fathers who will apply what they read and what they live, what they talk about, not just talk about it. That's religion. We're not into religion. We're in a relationship with Christ. Huh? The fifth comparison I want to make is that these two men had different foundations. Of course, it's very obvious. But think about the fundamental differences between these two guys. One of them put a lot into building the beginnings of his life, the beginnings of this house. The other one cut corners. We can't cut corners with our kids. Can't give them an iPad and let the iPad and cable TV or the dish run their lives. Here, just do this. We've got to take time to teach them. teach them. Well, this busy life, Pastor, it's so busy. Well, that's what you got to learn. You have to learn how to manage your time. Because, yes, we live in a very, very busy life. I know we do. But I'll tell you something right now. What I didn't spend time, a quality time with my children, like teaching them things when they were little, more my wife did, being a firefighter and then also being a painter and just always gone and all and other stuff too, you know. Gone. When you go for a loaf of bread and you don't come back for 3 days and stuff like that, you know. Like that kind of stuff. Like, and so you're gone. And thank God my wife taught my girls a lot. But my grandkids are a different story. I must have watched and explained every part of Finding Nemo to my oldest grandson at least 75 times. That's just that one. That's not even talking about Incredibles. And I think we should go see The Incredibles together because I saw The Incredibles with him. Let's put it this way. With a DVD, my truck had a DVD player. It was so scratched when I looked at it. I said, what the heck? It still works. And then finally one day it didn't work no more. So I had to get rid of it. But I spend time, quality time, just with them like that. My other kids, I didn't get to do that. I was too young. I was too moving around. And I wish I could go back and do it, but I can't. But with my grandkids, it's a different story. It's a whole different story. So I'm saying, don't wait till you get old like me. And then you do it. Start doing it now. Take your time now because it won't be long, Daddy, till that girl's off and married. And you'd be like, what happened to her? And you'll do the same thing I did. You're going to look at them in your eyes that when they fall in love with the guy, they're going to say, what's your motive, Holmes? You can do all that stuff, but as soon as they go, I love him, and you just buckle. Okay. Bye. I love my son-in-law. I'm just saying. I started off with like, I'm getting a shotgun. My dad was supposed to get a tower. We're supposed to build a tower behind our house and then be on watch all the time when they come like that, you know. And then he goes, you're a marksman. You what do you call? You're a hunter. He goes, so you can see him coming from far. Yeah, I all went down the tube, man. Started getting married, having kids. I'm like, So it happens fast. What do? You can't go back. So I say to you young fathers, you middle-aged father, still got a little time. Man, take your time. Huh? Build wise. I think about men in our church, men who are trying to build something, have a dream of building something big, but you can't live two lives. Everybody in this room has been exposed to the divine truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have to build on the rock and not the sand. Can't play games with God. You don't want to be that dad. You want to be the dad that builds to last. See, the undergirding of these guys' dreams, their training, and all, it came out of their trials. Huh? It came out when the storm came. This same account in Luke chapter 6, verse 48, says that the wise man dug deep. He says, he is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. See, it costs us to build. It costs time. It costs money. It costs us. And you can build on the sand so cheaply. You can just build, you can build a life real cheap if you want. Real surface if you want. Or you can take the time and build strong. And get into the bedrock and dig deep. You know, this building right here is about 60 or 70 years old. And it's got a good footing on it. We did the phases on it. Phase 1, 2, and 3 inspections on it. And we realized this was a solid building because it has a great foundation underneath it. Our lives must have a strong foundation. And that foundation is the cornerstone himself, Jesus Christ. And when we don't have that, we don't have much. You see, there's no integrity when you cut corners. There's no integrity when the enemy comes and tries to convince you that you can cut corners. That's not integrity. To build a rock on the rock takes a lot of difficulty and hard times. A lot of hours, a lot of years. But to build in the sand, you can just take it and real quickly you can build it, but it won't last. A lot of energy and effort goes into building on the rock. A lot of funds, a lot of finances goes into building on the rock. But you can get out real cheap on the sand. Huh? The difference between these two men were the way they were rooted in. Think about that. Huh? One of them had the title of a father. But their actions showed differently. I don't want to be that man. I want to be that man, even if I had to need a second chances and third chances, which I did, to be able to say, I don't just have the title of father, but I am a father to my children. And I'll let them speak that for me. I don't have to speak it. See, the man building his house on the rock was building a house to last. The one building on the sand was building it for show. Huh? For reputation, not for depth. Same looking house. House looked identical. Very similar. Looked nice. But when the winds came, when the trials and storms of life came and beat against that house, one house stood the test of time and the other. That's how you can always tell when people say stuff like, oh, well, I don't believe this and that. When they start talking about you, just outlive your critics. For 30 years, people have been criticizing me. Most of those people that criticize me ain't around no more. So I had to outlive them. not like literally, they just didn't stick around. I'm still here. See? Dad, you got to be able to say, I'm still here. I may not be perfect. I may have made a couple mistakes, but I'm still right here. I'm still your dad. You got to be able to live like that. You got to be able to say, okay, yes, you got me on that. And yeah, I didn't do this, but I'm still here. I stuck around. You see, he built on the principles of God and biblical principles, genuine love, all those things. The other one just kind of surfaced everything. A little religion, maybe once in a while on Sunday, and maybe maybe a kiss once in a while. But no, your children need you to love them. It's not weak to love your children, dads. It's not weak at all. Don't cut corners. Build a strong foundation. Let me just land this home if you can come to the keyboards. I'm not sure who I'm going to ask to come to the keyboards. But we got several keyboard house in the house today, but I think we may want to go out a little exciting this morning. Look what the Lord has done. Oh, excuse me. Anyway, let me land this plane. One's coming. Do I hear two? See, having a strong foundation in our family assures that we have a strong ministry also. Did you know that when you dads got your act together and you're not playing games with God? Come on, can I say that? Can I say what your wives want to say? I'm sorry. When you ain't playing games with God and you're solid on God, let me tell you what happens. Your community's better. Your whole family, not just your family, but all the people you influence are better. And your church is better. We do more for God when your lives are walking with integrity. Not just saying it, but living it. Come on, somebody. See? Strong fathers safeguard the collapse of the family. Strong fathers safeguard the collapse of the ministry. Pastor Sonny in the video, he says, I stay amazed to see what God has done, because he was a tough guy, man, in the beginning days. He was tough. He was rough. He's nice now and real polished, but you ask him, and I've heard many preachings where Sister Julie said he was an animal. I noticed she doesn't say that anymore because he's so loving. The other day I was watching him. He was walking in New York and Hermer. They were holding hands. Doreen, his daughter, caught him. He's probably like, what are you doing, sister? But they were holding hands at that walking after 55 years of marriage, still holding hands, walking. He didn't used to do that. She used to walk over there and he'd be walking like this. Come on, Julie. He left her behind all the time, she said. And I saw that a few times because I was with him. Barb was back there. But then if anybody that really knows me, I'm romantic now. I wasn't always, I was kind of a little bit, but not like now. I had to learn that. Listen, you got to learn how to love. Well, I don't know how to love, and soy vato loco, and I'm a cholo, or I'm this, or I'm that, or I was a player, pastor. I don't know what love is. And stop that. Save that drama for somebody else's mama. I don't want to hear that. You know that you've been sitting under the divine truth too long already. You need to learn how to love your kids. Look them in the eyes and tell them who they are. Look at them and say, you have been bred for greatness. You've been bred to prosper. You've been bred to be the best. You gotta bring convictions to them, but you gotta do it with love. You gotta care for them. Come on, somebody. Think about it. Lastly, these two men experienced different results. I'm not gonna go into it. We know what happened. See, the storm reveals the nature of your foundation. What is your foundation like? If it's not built again, you know what? Sometimes if a foundation is not good, you know, sometimes you need to go in there and you need to tear out that and redig it. Some of you, probably, maybe some of you that might think, God, I'm not a good father. I'm in the home right now. I left my kids, or this happened, or that happened, or whatever. Well, then I'll condemn. Don't get condemned. There's not one perfect father. There's not one perfect dad, starting with me. Not one. Only one, actually, I should say. And that is the father that we see in the book of the prodigal in Luke chapter 15. That's a perfect father. That is the example of a perfect father. See? Our foundations must be formed before the storms come. I surely can't claim to be the best dad. But one thing I know, my kids have seen me stand through the storms. They have been taught to work hard and to love Jesus. And they do. When the enemy thought he had us, Jesus turned our family around. We got to guard our future. We got to guard our legacy. We're shapers of the futures, dads. You're shaping the future. Got to maintain deep convictions. Keep your integrity with fire. Not just integrity, but with fire. Because there's no perfect father, not one. Just him, just God. There's nobody in this room that can say, I'm a perfect father. Maybe a good father, but not a perfect one. I think about the prodigal son, the story. I think of that father who, for whatever reason, his son decides to get his inheritance. For whatever reason, his son says, give me what's mine, I'm leaving. And he takes off and he goes and lives a crazy life and squanders his inheritance. And you know the story. He just spends it on wild living, partying, craziness. That father must have been so devastated. He taught him right. He laid a great foundation for him. And even yet then, even though he built the foundation, the Bible says, train a child in the ways of the Lord, for when he's old, he will not depart. Even though, he taught him right. Good foundation. Because the other one stayed. There's a story of two other men. One of them stayed, solid. Solid rock. The other one took off. Lived wildly. One day, everybody say one day. What that father had built in him. Down deep, the character, way down deep inside of him. The Bible says he came to his senses. You know where he was at? He was in the trough of the pigs. The place where the pigs eat. The Bible says he was eating out of the same place they were eating. The same food of the ears of corn that they were eating. He was picking out what was left. And he said to himself, how did I get here? This is not the way I was taught. I was taught to live on the rock and to be strong. How did I get here? The Bible says he came to his senses and left that life and ran home. You know what I love about the father? Is the father did not judge him when he came home. That's what a perfect father does. The perfect father, instead, I say this all the time, it's not scriptural. But I believe this. I believe that every evening and every morning, as a father did his devotion and prayer and you know, I believe that that father went out onto the porch of his house so he could see the road, the long road where you have to, the only one way into that ranch house. And he would get out there and just look at that ranch house and see if you see maybe somebody walking on the horizon, or maybe as the sun was coming up, he'd maybe see somebody walking. Nobody walking, he'd just go get his coffee and his Bible and read a little bit, look maybe one more time and go about his day. And then the evening, go back out again after dinner, take a look out there again. Just see if you can see it, maybe a shadow walking. Nothing. Year goes by, 2 years goes by. And then one night, everybody say one night. There's that father. He's sitting there in his chair and he looks at something and he gets up from a long way off. I know those ears. I know that head. Honey, go pick me up if I fall because I'm getting ready to run. Tell everybody. Get everything ready because Johnny's home. And he took off running. The Bible says he met him. He went out to him. He didn't just wait for him prideful like a prideful father. Let him come and beg for forgiveness and see if I even forgive him. He didn't do that. He ran to him. He said, hold on before I take off running. Go bring me my finest jacket and give me that real bling bling ring. Give me the bling bling. Why? You already gave him a bling bling. I don't care. He goes, he probably sold it. I don't care. Give it to me. He ran. The first thing he did is he hugged him. The Bible says he fell on his neck and wept with him and loved him and forgave him. And then he put a ring on his finger. Then he put his beautiful coat over them. And then he said, come on, son. Come on home. That's a perfect father. If you want to be a perfect father, then love like the Father loves. Care like the Father cares. But don't compromise with your sons and daughters. Keep convictions. Make sure they know that, because they'll respect you if they do. And they won't respect you if you do not have some kind of convictions. Listen, we've been bred for inconvenience. So when the Lord says to move, we just got to move whether we feel like it or not. Listen, we've got to let our kids know that that God comes first. And if God comes first, and that means they come first. And if they come first, their kids will come first. And if their kids come first, the next generation will come first. But if you don't teach them that God is first, they won't think about their kids. They'll think about themselves. Because that's what selfishness does. That is, my friend, what not having convictions does. Would you stand to your feet with me? I want you right there where you're at. I want you just to bow your heads. I'm going to ask the musicians to come. And I want to ask every father in this house, every father and even those that are about to be fathers, because there's some of you are pregnant. Your wife's pregnant. I'm going to ask you from all over this place, every father, to come and stand at this altar with me. Today we make a decision. Every dad, every father, come and stand at this place in the altar. I want to challenge you to be those fathers who build something that lasts. Don't miss your appointments with God, and don't miss your appointments with your kids. Don't do it. Because there'll be a time where there'll be no room for that. There'll be a day where you won't be able to do that. There'll be a day as you get older, you'll wish you had, but you won't be able to. If your father's up here and you'd like to come, you come. Come and be by him if you'd like to. If dad is here, you come. Stand by next to dad if you would like to. You see, the biggest challenge I have as a pastor, as a leader of this church, and not just me, but the leaders of our church, we have a team of leaders that we all work together, is this. We want to teach you how to be righteous men of God, men of integrity, men who love to pray, men who love God, men who will set an example, a godly example. Men who just trust God. Lead their people, their children, their family, their clan to God. Not so much religion. Because we all grew up around religion and didn't do much for us. We had, thank God we had faith. But I'm talking about relationship with God. I'm talking about a pure relationship with God. And you know what? If you're a stepdad, you say, well, I'm not really a father, I'm a stepdad. Yes, you are. You better get up here. Don't you ever think because you're not biological that you're not a dad. That's the farthest thing from the truth, man. See, fathers, not one of us is perfect. I said it earlier. I'm not. You're not. We're not. Some of us, we have long conversations about that, right, Pastor Charles? It's tough, man. It's tough. It's tough, guys. We talk about those things. But as long as we're alive and we're above ground, we have the privilege and the opportunity to still lead our kids. The thing about it is, I've had to learn once they get to a certain age, you can't treat them like they're a certain age anymore. I still look at my little girls. I don't know if you've seen that commercial where the dad throws the keys to his little girl and she gets in the car and she's a little girl. She gets in the car and he's looking at like a little girl in the front seat. And then it turns away from him and it turns back and she's already like older now. That's what I do. I look at my girls like little girls. But they're not little girls. They're powerful women. Influential, anointed women. But I still see them as my little babies. I still see Felicia with her little... I used to try to comb her hair and I couldn't. I just messed her up. I forgive me. All of them. I messed up their hair so much. Barbara said, can you make sure they have their hair good? Okay, yeah, I can do it. I can do anything, man. Not put their pigtails and won't... But, thank God Felicia, man. She was older. She got... I'll do it. I'll handle it, Dad. I'll take care of it. She would help me take care of stuff, but... We may not do everything right, but oh, God turns things around. So I want to challenge you about this. I want to challenge you to be that dad that builds to last. I want to challenge you to remember that you're the shapers of the future. I want to challenge you that you need the power of God to do this. You can't do it on your own. Well, this is the way my dad did it, my grandpa did it. No, you know what? Thank you. Thank God that you had somebody in your life. But go to the biblical principles too. See, it's not enough just to transmit the knowledge you have. You need to transmit fire, the fire of God. You got to hand your children the torch so that they can have... See, these kids had a torch in their hands earlier. And those kids are going to take that torch and they're going to light the world on fire. And that's what we need to do with our kids. We must hand our children that torch. Let it burn bright and let them light the whole world on fire. We've got to keep convictions. Today, I think we need to make some decisions to keep some convictions before the Lord. And just say, I'm going to be that man that prays. I'm going to be that father that prays, that believes, that stands, and then I'm going to build. And if you have to rebuild and you have to ask the Lord for forgiveness, and you need to say, you know what, I'm removing all the sand from my foundation. I'm digging it out. I'm going to get some help if I need to, or I'm going to buy me a couple of shovels and a pica and a pala, and I'm going to get in there and I'm going to dig it out and I'm going to start over again. I'm going to build me some forms. I'm going to call the concrete company and tell them to come and deliver about 10 yards of some fresh concrete, and I'm going to put some big rocks down, and I'm going to make sure I got the rebar inside of there, and I'm going to get some help, and they're going to come and help me pour it. And once we pour it, we're going to finish it. And once we finish it, we're going to cure it. And once we cure it, then I'm going to start building again. I'm going to start rebuilding if I have to, but I'm not going to end my life. I'm not going to finish my days with a sandy foundation. I'm going to build a solid rock foundation. Come on, man, lift your hands. And I want you to repeat this with me and say, I make a public commitment. Come on, say it like men. I make a public commitment. Come on, let me hear you say it one more time. I make a public commitment to build my house on a foundation, on a solid rock, the rock of Jesus Christ. I ask you to give me the strength and the convictions to build something that lasts. I am challenged today to build that which lasts. I will shape the future. I will direct the future, but not control it. I repent of a controlling spirit, and I ask you to help me become a mentor and a shaper of character and conviction. I make this commitment in the presence of the Lord, in the presence of my pastor, in the presence of all these other men of God, and the presence of all that are here in the congregation. I'm not perfect. I don't claim to be perfect. I will never be perfect. But I will strive for perfection. Forgive me, Lord, for my shortcomings, for building on the sand. I make a commitment to dig out that sand today. In the name of Jesus. Lift your hands as they sing this song. I want you to take about a minute, man. I want you to get a hold of God right now. This is your moment right now. This is your moment to get a hold of Christ. I want you right there where you're at just to begin to tap into His presence. Oh, He's a Redeemer. Back again. Surrender to the Lord and say, here I am, God.
We love your name.
Oh.
We love your name. Jesus, you're the beautiful one.
This is how we're going to close this morning. Man, everybody in this room has been exposed to the gospel at one time or another. You're here at this altar and you say, Pastor, I'm here at the altar, but I really haven't surrendered to Christ. I never really have surrendered to the Lord. I come to church, or I'll go to church, but I believe there's God, but I've never really surrendered to Him. What does it take for me to become that solid rock, that solid example to my family? It first starts by being born again and by giving your life to Jesus Christ. You do that, and the rest of it will come into play. If you haven't done that, then I'm going to say a prayer. We're going to believe God that today's your day. Secondly, you may say, Pastor, I have done this before, but I have not been walking the walk or talking the talk. I've just been walking it, talking it, but not walking it. And I want to rededicate my life to God. If that's you here today, then you're also, this is for you. I want every man in this room just to close your eyes. I want you to close your eyes, and I want, for those of you who say, Pastor, I've never really surrendered to Christ, or Pastor, I have surrendered to Christ, but somehow I've surrendered back to my flesh, or I've surrendered back to my own desires, and I want to come back. Your Father is waiting for you. Your Father is waiting for you in front of His porch, just waiting to see you walk up. And right now, He's going to walk right up to you. And put His arm around your neck and love on you. Not judge you, just love you. And just give you a second opportunity. Maybe a third. But if that's you today, I want you to repeat this prayer with me. Just those men that have never surrendered, or those men who somehow just walked away. And you said, I want to get things right. I want you to repeat after me and say, Lord Jesus, come to you today in need of a Savior. In need of forgiveness. I've been where I shouldn't been. I've done what I shouldn't be doing. I'm tired, heavy laden, all yoked up, all burdened down. Please take this burden from me. I feel your presence. I ask you to take this burden from my life. Give me a brand new start. Forgive me my sins. Come into my life. Take complete control. I surrender my life over to you. And I believe I'm forgiven and been given a new start. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross and for rising from the grave. I believe this with all my heart, and I give you my life. In Jesus' name. Somebody tell the Lord, amen. God bless you. Tell somebody next to you, God bless you. I feel the anointing on you. Come on, that's the power of God on you.